The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 6 to 11. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring the good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, 'Here is your God.' See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Our New Testament reading is from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Arabic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Lyra. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this message and for your goodness. We thank you for the reality of the resurrection. Help us to hear your words for us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer, dear. So we just finished a series called The Last Words of Jesus. We're finishing up on Bible study this week. And I was thinking, what do we use to follow the last words? And I thought, well, what about first steps? So as we move and from sort of the life of Jesus and the last words of Jesus towards Pentecost, which is coming, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, what were some of the first things that happened in the early church? So we're going to look at people in particular who were the firsts of their kind. And we're starting this week, as we must, with Mary, who was the first evangelist. But before we talk about that, I also wanted to tell you something else about today. So today is known in some places as Holy Humor Sunday, or even Bright Sunday. And it comes from the time when Easter was a festival that lasted a week, and it was full of parties and celebrations. There were even some churches where they would play practical jokes and do different things to celebrate, as I said earlier, the greatest trick God ever pulled on the devil, which was the resurrection of Jesus. Just when the devil thought he had won and managed to kill Jesus off, here he came, rising from the dead. And so, we're not doing a whole lot, but I did mention it to Peggy, which is why she felt that she wanted to play some music at a random point in the service, which I appreciate. And who knows, maybe it'll come again. There are some other things, and I introduced this 5 years ago. In 2019, I mentioned it, which I had to look up, so I don't blame you if you don't remember. But the next year, the Sunday after Easter, was not one where we were looking to play practical jokes on one another, it being April of 2020. And so I thought I would reintroduce it gently this year with a couple jokes. Because we have a bad tendency, and I certainly do this, of taking myself too seriously at times. And so if we can lighten up a little bit, it's probably all for the good. So I found a couple resurrection-themed comics that I just wanted to share with you. I love this. This is God telling Jesus to rise. Time to rise and shine. Just 10 more minutes. Now, what does it say? Yeah. You resurrect this minute, young man. Yeah, I don't like getting up with the dawn either. I don't know about the rest of you. All right, so the next one is, the guard sitting there. What do you mean it wasn't you who just said good morning? As you see Jesus walk out of the frame. What do we got next? I think we got four. So, I like this one. You've got one lady there praising the empty tomb and the other one hoping that she can get a refund on the giant basket of spices she just bought that are no longer needed. And this last one's a bit of a modern take. He's not in there. Oh, wait, he's changed his status to risen. So, Jesus was on social media. That's what we have. So here's the thing. The resurrection is something to laugh at. Not to make light of it, not to say that it doesn't matter, but because it's so ridiculous that if we don't laugh at, like, we kind of need to laugh. Think about some of the ridiculousness of what happened in the resurrection story, right? Think about the extreme lengths that the Romans go to try to keep Jesus in his tomb, right? He's in this tomb. They've got a big rock in front of it that's not immovable, but certainly hard to move. They station guards in front of it, right? They do all of this work for what? For nothing. Right? All of this hard work comes to nothing as Jesus just waltzes. I don't even know. This is one of the things I've always wondered. I suspect the tomb is open not to let Jesus out, but so the disciples can see inside. Right? Because we know from other stories, Jesus doesn't actually need the tomb to be opened for him to get out. Right? He appears and he disappears from within buildings, from within a locked room. Right? So Jesus didn't need the tomb to be open. The tomb is open for us. Right? All of those things that were put in place are for naught because God had a plan and God enacted it. Right? And then, of course, the story from last week, which always makes me giggle. Right? This story of John, and he's telling this really important story about how Mary finds the tomb empty. She goes and gets John and Peter. They come to the tomb to find it empty. Really important story. And he cannot help but point out how he won the foot race. Right? Look at the verses again, those first 9 verses of John 20. He mentions 3 times that he beat Peter to the tomb. Right? In the middle of telling this story, he needs it. It's important to him for everyone to know that he was the faster runner. And then, of course, we have Mary asking Jesus where Jesus is, right? Which is a bit ridiculous. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's just me, I don't know if you've ever done this, pulled out your phone and turned on the flashlight so you could look underneath to see if you could find your phone, right? I know it's here somewhere. Right? Or looking desperately around for your glasses while they're sitting on top of your head. Right? This silliness that happens in our lives. And well, the moment is important and it's serious. We look back on it and we say, that's kind of funny. Right? Mary asking Jesus where Jesus is. Right? And of course, there's things going on and Mary is grieving and it's not to make light of that. But knowing the story ends happily, we can look back and see where God has a sense of humor, even in this most important of things that happens. And of course, in some places, they call this Sunday Low Sunday, because after the busyness of Holy Week and all of the services, we don't have as many people at church on the Sunday immediately after Easter. Now, there's lots of you here, and I'm so glad you're here, and I'm sure there's more of you online, and I'm glad that you are here too. But rather than thinking about it as Low Sunday, what about if we think of it as Bright Sunday or Humor Sunday, right? I love this idea that we're still celebrating the resurrection and there's still something to smile about and to laugh about a week later. And of course, that should be true all the time, but it's probably good for us, especially as Presbyterians, to loosen up a little bit every once in a while. And to be fair, you've been doing that a lot the last couple weeks, and I appreciate that, even doing a little dancing a couple weeks ago. So here we are. Mary, we can even in some ways see humor or irony in Mary being the one chosen as the first evangelist. Right, knowing what we know now about the last 2,000 years of Christian history and church history, women don't always end up on the best side of the rules and regulations, right? For many years, for many centuries, they were excluded in most places from leadership. There are still people today who would say that I shouldn't be up here, right? There are, and yet, the irony is, the very first person to share the good news, not just of the empty tomb, but of Jesus being seen as resurrected, was Mary. Was this woman we know almost nothing about, except that she had demons expelled from her, and she was there to follow and care for Jesus and his disciples' needs. She was there at the cross, and she was there at the tomb. That's really all we know about her. We've come up with all sorts of mythology and tradition about who she might have been, but really from Scripture, that's all we know. She was this woman who loved Jesus enough to give up everything and follow him. And she was the one who was chosen to share that message. Now, God knew what was coming. God knew that eventually, right, the male leaders of the church would shut the women out. And I feel like maybe that's part of God's sense of humor, to say, you can never forget it was a woman first. It's right in the book. It's in every book. Every gospel writer writes about Mary Magdalene. So deal with it, is pretty much what he's saying, right? And Mary knew what the good news was. She probably didn't understand it at first. Nobody did. It's a bit of a head bender to try to wrap your head around what this means for Jesus to be alive. But she knew what the good news was. Her Lord, her teacher, was dead, and now he's alive. Right? She clearly probably thought that things were going to go back to the way they were, right? When Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me, Mary," he doesn't probably mean, "Don't hug me, don't touch me." What he means probably is, don't expect things to go back to normal. Don't hold on to your picture of who I am, because I have more to do. I have more to do that you can't imagine, so don't hold on to that. And so Mary goes off, and she tells the disciples what's happened. Now, it's up to the disciples whether they believe her or not, but Mary is clear on her message. And that's one of the things that makes her an evangelist, that makes her the first evangelist, the first sharer of good news. That's all evangelist means, sharer of good news. And we don't like that word today, often in Presbyterian churches, evangelist, evangelism, right? It may be picks up certain pictures for us, maybe, of being overly pushy or even of a certain type of theology. But the main line is that evangelist means bearer of good news. And we are all called to be evangelists, not just Mary, not just Paul, not just preachers, not just people in leadership positions. We are all called to be evangelists. And so we have to answer the question, do we know what makes Jesus' resurrection good news? If someone said to you, why does it matter that Jesus rose from the dead? How do you answer that question? That's the first thing that we need to know if we're going to be an evangelist. And the second is this, because our message is rooted in our location. So the second question is this. Okay, let's say you have the answer for why it's good news that Jesus was resurrected. The second question is, why should I celebrate that at St. Stephen's? Why is this the place where I should find a community of people who follow Jesus or learn more about this Jesus guy? If you can answer those two questions, in a succinct way, you can be an evangelist. You can share with people. So, those are our questions that we're going to try and answer today. And we get another example. So Mary is one, right? So the answer is, why is it good news? This is my teacher. This is my Lord. This is the one that I love. And he's risen. This is good. This is my friend, right, who has come back. Her why is it good news makes perfect sense. Now, she's part of we don't know her answer to the second question, right? We hear in Isaiah another call to be bearers of good news, right? Go up. Those who with good tidings go up to the mountain and shout. And I don't know if you heard this, but Isaiah asks the question, what should I say? He says, what is the good news, really? People are like grass. They wither and they die. We're all just kind of like grass. Sure, God's word endures forever, but we're like grass. So what is my good news? Maybe he's asking. Right? And the answer is, the sovereign Lord, or you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. That's the encouragement to that question. And to answer the question of what is the good news, he says the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. So the good news for Isaiah is that God is coming with power and he's coming to reign. But people might ask, well, why is that good news? Is it good news that God is coming with power to reign? And so the answer is yes, of course it's good news, because he comes as the shepherd. He tends his flock as a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Right? So he's not just going to rule with power. He is going to rule with power, but he's not going to rule with corrupt power. He's going to rule with power as a shepherd. He's going to care for people. He's going to hold them close and keep them safe. So that's why it's good news that God is coming to rule. Because here's the thing. Everybody's answer to these two questions could be slightly different. It's all based on the same gospel. It's all based on the same God and the same Jesus. But exactly how you answer the question of why is it good news, and why should I celebrate that good news in the local community that is St. Stephen's, you might answer those questions differently. So, what I tried to do was answer it myself. Not so that you can copy what I have to say, but you can get a sense of what it might sound like. Now, I probably sound like a preacher when I answer these questions. You're not expected to sound like a preacher when you answer these questions. But for me, the resurrection is good news because it shows how much God loves me. It shows me that there is nothing I can do that moves me so far away that I can't come back. If God is willing to give up a portion of God's power to come to earth as Jesus, to live through the messiness and the craziness, to come to a place where he's not even really appreciated fully, to live through bullying and pushback, to ultimately be killed on a cross. He did all of that because he thinks I'm worth it. Because he thinks I'm valuable enough to do that. That means I can have courage. I can have courage to do things that I don't think I'm brave enough to do, because even if I mess it up, I know God always has more grace. That's what makes, for me, the resurrection good news. And why do I want to do it at St. Stephen's? Why do I want to worship here? Because I meet God here. I meet God here in this building. I meet God here in our music. And most of all, I meet God here in these people. I knew this was going to make me emotional. It's okay. People who welcomed a minister brand new at a seminary, didn't really know what she was doing, who came with little kids, who sat in the front unsupervised, sometimes making a riot, right? Who accepted a woman whose husband doesn't regularly come to church, who doesn't know Jesus yet. And you welcomed me with open arms. So if you can welcome me, You'll welcome anyone, right? Anyone who wants to come through these doors. So that's why I like to be here. Now, your story is going to be different, right? Your story is not going to be my story. But it's good news. It's good news. And we should be able to smile and laugh and celebrate together so that we can also mourn together when we have to. We can also make hard decisions together when we have to, but always with this sense of hope. Because God is good and God loves us. Let us pray. God, I thank you for the welcome you offer people. I thank you for the promise you give that everyone can come, that you have space for all who want to know you, that your resurrection is truly good news. Help us, God, to be able to articulate what it is that makes it good news for us. So when people ask us, we have an answer ready. And help us to trust you to do the rest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.